So before we jump in and share, we wanted to invite Hannah and Evan up here, just so you guys hear some of the things, how youth group has impacted them. So we're excited to have them up and have them share for a quick minute or two.
You can come up.
You guys can come up. Who wants to go first?
I can go first.
Okay, hello everyone. If you don't already know, my name is Hannah Strumpfer, and I'm currently part of the youth here at church. When I was asked to prepare something to say, it really made me think, what is youth to me? Well, for starters, I asked my good friend Google, and they gave me the definition. They said youth is an age-specific religious program with a church or faith organization dedicated to nurturing young people through religious education, spiritual formation, social activities, and community involvement, which I have found to be completely true. Youth has been a place where adolescents can come and just take a step back from everything that has been weighing them down. Pastor Renee and Pastor Sarah have been amazing at giving us one-on-one connections to help us fully understand what the Bible is teaching us. They personally invest themselves in our spiritual lives and help in our faith and walk alongside us in our journey. I cannot thank them enough for all that they have done for me. God uses young people to do many great things, such as when he used Timothy to help reform the Ephesians church when he was young. Now, his exact age is not specified, but Paul refers to him as a youth, using the word neotes. Even though he is encouraged by Paul to not let anyone look down on him just because he is young, this youth group has been a good example of just that. We are taught how to hear God's voice and follow God's will so that we too can contribute to the church, even though we are neotes. So what is youth to me? Well, I think that it's a safe place where I can find myself, and most importantly, grow and cultivate my relationship with Jesus, allowing me to find him in my daily life. This group is not just a youth group, it's a church within this church. And for the new people who are joining, I know that they will feel the exact same warmth and guidance as I did. Thank you.
Youth has done a lot of things for me. It helped me get a better connection with God and even helped me get out of a bad, influential friend group. It got me to an amazing, kind-hearted, and welcoming new friend group. I remember when we had the youth convention a while ago, I remember one thing the pastor said. It made me realize that my old friend group wasn't a good influence for me. He said, your connection with God is like a rope, a straight rope between you and God, a straight path. But if you have bad influences, they become a knot in the rope, blocking the connection between you and him. Those words brought me joy as I joined my new friend group. They accepted me instantly, welcomed me with open arms. That's when I realized that this is where God told me where I belong. Thank you, Pastor and Sarah. Without you, I still probably would have been with the same friend group if you never came here. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Can we give it up for them? You guys can take a seat. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Hannah and Evan, for sharing. We did not bribe them to share and say all those good things, but we thought it would be good for you guys to hear just from some of the youth how youth group has impacted them. And we're so excited and honored to be here and to serve your guys' kids. So with the youth focus and Move Up Sunday, our main passage this morning is going to be from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. And before we jump in, let's say a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness that is proven time and time and again, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that this morning, it's your word that goes forth, not ours, and that you open our hearts and our ears to what you have to speak to us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So jumping right into Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father.
This morning, as we're focusing more on the youth group and the new sixth graders that are joining, we wanted to share these verses this morning. This is our heart for the youth group, that we would be a city on the hill with our lights shining and pointing others to Jesus. And if you haven't picked it up by now, this is where the name On the Hill Youth comes from.
This section of Matthew 5 is in the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It is a small section of verses, but it's still important and powerful. These verses lay the blueprint out for the rest of Jesus' sermon. He tells his disciples and the crowd gathered there that they are the light of the world. Now, in the same way that a lamp brings light into a house, they need to let their good deeds shine before others so that they can bring glory and praise to God. Jesus goes on in his sermon to hit topics like anger, not letting it get in between your relationships, not murdering, which is a pretty good command, but he takes it further.
Not just murdering physically, but also not hating people, because in hatred, you're committing murder in your heart. Same with lust and adultery and about revenge. Jesus talks about loving not only those who love you, but to love your enemies. He teaches about giving to the needy and prayer and fasting, and how to not do it like the Pharisees who do it for attention, but to do it because God is the one who is watching us, to treat others how we want to be treated, to not judge others, to walk the narrow road. Jesus covers a lot of topics over chapters 5 to 7 in Matthew, and all of it points to how we're either living with our light shining or we're living with a bowl over our lamp.
We know we're supposed to let our light shine, but do we know how to? I think if we want our lights to shine and to shine as bright as they can, we need to focus on two major things: our relationship with God
and our relationship with others. We know this to be the greatest command, to love God with all of our soul, mind, heart, and strength, to love others as ourselves. And all of that can be found in the Sermon on the Mount, how we should be treating others and how our relationship with God should be and should look like.
So let's break this down a little further. What does Jesus have to say about our relationship with God? Our first point is to do things in private for God's praise and reward, not in public for man's praise. A lot of the time we do things just to people please or to get the attention and praise of others, even if we don't realize it. What Jesus is getting at here is, whose praise do we want? God's praise and rewards that are eternal and have value to them, or praise from humans that is superficial and will only last seconds?
The second thing we believe it says is, you can't serve two masters. Masters can be a myriad of things, from serving money, success, health, possibly your own abilities. If you serve one, you can't serve the other. And it's important to emphasize in your daily walk with the Lord that you only serve one God.
Our third point is, seek his righteousness above all else. Jesus tells us here to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness above everything else. In the verses before verse 33 in chapter 6, Jesus is telling the crowd to not worry, that the birds are always fed, the grass is always clothed, and that by worrying, we don't add a single hour to our life. What we should be seeking first is his kingdom, and that all things will be added, that by shifting our focus on God and him alone, he provides everything we need. We need to focus and shift on how good our God is.
And our fourth point is, build your life on a firm foundation. This world is constantly changing, fading, moving, new trends on the hour, every hour. We need to build a firm foundation that is Christ. Because if we build on just any kind of foundation, the ground under us will cave in. It will break, because the world constantly changes, but he doesn't. The foundation that we decide to stand on matters, because one will leave us stable and fully in awe and protected by the God we serve, and the other will fail us over and over again.
Our relationship with God is so vital to our life. We don't have a light to shine for others unless we have a solid relationship with God. Unless we've accepted Christ into our lives and fully surrendered to him, we have no light ourselves. How can we shine for others if our own life is dim?
And what does Jesus say in this sermon about our relationship with others? He says, don't let anything you've done stand in the way of peace and even your relationship with God. We must be a beacon of peace. We must seek reconciliation with others, and our relationships should be a symbol of the gospel.
Our second point is, turn your cheek and love your enemy. The crowd here that Jesus is speaking to has always been told and raised in a way that they should love those who love them and to hate their enemies. But Jesus says, how good is that, that even pagans do so, but that they should love everyone, including their enemies? That if someone slaps them, not to take revenge, but to turn the other cheek. If someone takes your coat, give them your shirt as well. And walking an extra mile if someone makes us walk with them. Jesus is trying to get to the heart issue to fix relationships. We need to love everyone.
Our third point, be quick to forgive others. I know in this room that there may be many people who have hurt us, but it's important to forgive those people. And it's not just to feel like a good person or a better person that, golly gee, you got to forgive them. It's that the Lord tells us that the greater purpose is that it's reminding us of the way he has forgiven us of our sins.
And our fourth point is the golden rule. And this one is really simple, but sometimes hard to do. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Treating people with respect, with dignity, and with love, even if we think they don't deserve it.
We just listed 8 things between our relationship with God and our relationship with others. But to sum it all up, the thing that binds it together and gives us the one thing that we can start doing to let our light shine is the word love. All of these things listed, all of the Sermon on the Mount, all of Jesus' life can be summed up with the word and the action, love. Colossians 3:13-15 says, try to understand other people. Forgive each other. If you have something against someone, forgive him. This is the way the Lord forgave you. And to all these things, you must add love. Love holds everything and everybody together. It makes all these good things perfect. Let the peace of Christ have power over your hearts. You were chosen as part of his body. Always be thankful.
To all these things, our relationship with God and others, we need to add love. It says it in this verse so well that love holds everything and everybody together, and it makes the good things perfect. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 4 also says it perfectly as well. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing.
If we don't have love, we are nothing. We could have the best gifts, best intentions, the best thing to say to others, but if we don't have love or don't do it in love, it means nothing. If I don't let my light shine with love, the light means nothing.
If we as believers want to be the city on the hill, the lamp that lights up the room, we need to let our light shine and have good deeds, but they need to be done in love. We can't expect people to listen to our words if our actions don't follow up. And the same is true the other way. We can't expect people to solely look at our actions. Our words need to back it up as well. Our relationship with God needs to be solid and built in love. That way our relationship with others can also be solid and built in love.
On the Hill Youth not just comes from this text, but we seek to live from it. We see that the disciples are forming and listening to Jesus share in this text. They're learning about a personal relationship with the Lord and being devoted in ways to shine the light that is in them. They're being told to make an impact. For almost a year, we have been meeting weekly with students from 6th to 12th grade. And in this year, we share the same hope and vision that I believe Jesus is sharing with those who are gathered. And this year, students have learned about prayer, fasting, worship, identity.
They've read through the book of Ephesians. We have emphasized over and over again the importance of having a personal relationship with God. And we have seen how they have made impacts on their friends, how they have sacrificed what is comfortable for the uncomfortable. On the Hill to us isn't just a youth group where they come and sit. On the Hill exists in the weekly checkups. It's in attending their plays, their musical, their sports games, or even robotic competitions. It is in making sure every student feels seen. It's taking them to In-N-Out for a burger and asking them how they are doing, learning about Krav Maga or Lord of the Rings, things you would never know otherwise.
We desire to not just be a place where parents have to force their students to come, but for them to not want to miss a single Sunday, not because Renee and I are cool, but, but because they know the impact that is being made in their lives. On a Sunday evening at On the Hill Youth, our main objectives are 5 things. One, personal faith, that each student grabs hold of their own faith, that it's not passed down from parents or something that's expected, but that it is that God is real to them.
Our second is loved, that this is a place that they are loved on and seen, not just by us, but by their Heavenly Father as well, and that the way we love them is only a glimpse of how much God loves them.
Three, a place of refuge, that this is a place where students can come and feel safe, that they can be their silliest, wildest, using their outdoor voices inside, no matter what is going on in their lives, they have a safe refuge with the youth group, that here there's no expectation or pressure to be someone or something, but to be in the presence of God.
And the fourth one, family ties. We stole it from one of Pastor Aaron's messages last year, but this is a place where we put the kettle on and leave it on anytime, where we come together as a family, serving one another and being in fellowship, just how the early church did.
And worship, that this is a place where they come and worship God, not just in song and music, but learning to live a lifestyle that is holy and pleasing to Him.
We desire for these things to take place and to continue to grow in our students. And these objectives lead to our three mission points: everyday God, always devoted, and eternally connected.
We want our students to not just serve God on Sundays, but we desire for them to serve God every day. We desire for them to always be devoted to God and to each other. And with that, we believe that by serving and devoting themselves to God and to each other, they will make an eternal impact, not just to those around them, but to all who know them.
We are incredibly proud and honored to serve here at Broomfield Assembly. With our deepest hearts, we are so proud to serve your children, your grandkids, your nieces or nephews, your neighbors, those kids who are coming up into sixth grade this year, and other friends.
We also want to extend a thanks. We want to thank any of you who have given, prayed, supported us, given us an encouraging word, and we really want to thank Pat and Lisa as well. In the last few months, they have chaperoned and helped us and been a support system, and we just want to thank you. Now, words aside, because no one really wants to hear us speak all this time, we thought some photos would demonstrate better than words would, so please direct your eyes to the screen. Oh, is there music? I don't want to block them. At this time, we would like to invite Elijah and Kenzie to come on up.
For the, you guys can come more to the middle. For those of you who don't know, these are now new sixth graders that have come up through our kids' church, and they've been an awesome part. And sadly, Helen wasn't able to be here this morning, but we just wanted to make them feel special and welcome them to youth group, because that's a cool thing, just being able to grow up and join a youth group. So we're going to ask them a few questions and put them on the spot.
So Elijah, what was your favorite thing in kids' ministry?
Miss Helen.
Miss Helen, I know. We wish she was here with us. And what is something you are most excited about for youth ministry?
To meet more people.
Awesome. Kenzie, what was your favorite thing in kids' ministry?
Food and friends.
Food would be my favorite, too. And what is something you're most excited about for sixth grade or youth group?
Food, friends, and swings.
And swings. So we added the swings part. Yes.
If you don't know, we have swings down in the basement that they get to hang out on before service starts.
That are a little dangerous, but it's okay.
We really wish Helen was here with us because we can't take any credit for them. This is their parents and this is Helen and the amount of years she has spent pouring into these students. So whenever you see her, give a great thanks because she gives us a great starting point for these students. Let's pray over them. Lord, we just thank you for Elijah and Kenzie, Father. We present them to you, Father, as the woman that they are becoming. Father, thank you for all the years that you have continued to pour into them spiritually. Thank you for the ways that they have gotten to know you and meet you in kids' ministry. And Lord, as we enter into a new season of their lives, Father, may you bless them. May you guide their walk every day. Father, may they grow more and more confident in what you are doing in their lives. Thank you for both of these women and the way that they are growing up. And Lord, may you just remind them of how much of a blessing they are to this youth ministry. We thank you. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. And at this time, we would like to invite all youth students to please make your way up here.
You guys can go more towards the middle. You guys can fill in the front. The stairs don't bite. So these are just some of the students that have joined us throughout this year. And we have a really fun time. And we just want to pray over them and this new school year as well. And just praying over them as well. So let's say another quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all these students that are up here, Lord. Lord, that we get to pour into them and hang out with them and just get to listen to them, Lord, and how much joy they bring into our lives. And we thank you for what kids and students mean to the kingdom, Lord, that they aren't looked down upon in your kingdom, but that they actually set the example. So I just pray for over each and every one of them and any other student that might come into through our doors this year, Lord. Lord, for their school year, Lord, that you get them through, that you give them boldness and confidence and courage to stand out and to do the right thing and to be an example and a light to their friends and to their teachers and anyone else they meet throughout the school doors. We just thank you for how good you are and how faithful you are and for the testimonies we'll hear next year. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You guys can all go sit.
Thank you guys for coming up here.
Do you want to do instructions?
No. Now, the moment you guys have been waiting for, taco time. As we move into lunchtime and the fundraiser, if you guys have helped before setting up the big round tables, if you guys could bring those out, that'd be greatly appreciated. And then youth students, if you guys can meet up with me and Sarah up here, so that way we can bring all the food upstairs for everyone to enjoy. It's give what you can. There's no set price. If you want to give online, or there should be a QR code that comes up, you can give online just in the memo, designate it to youth group, youth fundraiser, anything like that. Or if you want to give cash, we'll have a basket up by the table. If you didn't sign up, that's okay. You're more than welcome to stay and enjoy. And yeah, we're really excited to have lunch and share and just have fun together. So we're going to pray one more time. No?
We don't know what we're doing.
This might be my last time up here, guys.
Well, I was never in the military, but I've heard the phrase, benefit of rank, I believe. Is that right, Alan, or something of that nature? So I'm pulling rank right now because they didn't know I was going to do this, and honestly, I didn't know either, but it just felt like it was important. They mentioned how blessed they were to be here. But good Lord, we are so blessed that they're here with us too. We looked for them a long time, and it's because they were doing other things, you know, like school and nonsense, you know, falling in love, you know. And it really took them longer to get here than I would have liked, but God's timing is perfect, and his plans are perfect. And to see the growth in our kids is such a huge thing. You know, it's been said so many times, the church is a generation away from being extinct. And with the work that they've done, with the time that they've spent, with the love that they've shared, not just with our kids, but with us as a church family, I don't know about any place else. I'm not necessarily concerned about every place else, but I believe that we're doing the job of making sure that this next generation loves the Lord and knows His Word and is experiencing Him. So I was not going to just let this go by without taking an opportunity to thank Pastor Renee and Pastor Sarah, and for all the work that they have done, all the time that they've spent, all the hours that they've put into not just our kids, but to us as a church family. So thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. You're kind of like, you know, it's kind of a weird way to put it. It's hard to imagine this place without you now, which is a great sign of a family coming together. And so I know that you were going to pray, but I'm going to. Yeah, because see, I'm pulling rank. You know, I don't do this very often, but every once in a while. And then I'll turn it back to you so that you can kind of let everybody know how you want to go. But I just felt like, nah, this is too important. So let me pray, and then I'll turn it back to them. Father, we do love you and thank you for this day and this time. God, we thank you for what the youth group has been able to accomplish with your help and your leading and your guidance. And Father, we are excited for what you have in store. You're not done yet. You have only just begun to do in the hearts and the lives of these young people what you desire to do as you grow them in you, as you help them to become more and more the men and the women of God that you've called them to be. And we thank you right now as a church body, as a church family, for Pastor Renee and Pastor Sarah. We thank you for their heart. We thank you for their servant's mindset. We thank you for their willingness to love and to care for these young people as they become more and more like you, to help train them to become more and more like you. So, Father, ultimately, we know the scripture that says every good and perfect gift comes down from you. And so, Father, we thank you for the gift of Pastor Renee and Pastor Sarah. And we ask that you would anoint them again. We ask that you would pour out your spirit upon them again in even a more powerful way, that they would continue to mature and grow in you, so that they could be used effectively in your hands. We love you, and we do thank you for this celebration, for this time, as we welcome in these new youth group members, celebrate those that have been here, and look forward to all that you're going to do moving forward. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.